being able to sort of tell my story in a way that feels like me.
There's no shame. Every designer has been in that beginner stage, so they understand.
If anyone's listening to this, if you're just starting out with design, even if you're not just starting out, you know, just share your work, really.
This is actually fun. Yes, I find it so interesting.
And sometimes that comes with a lot of experience. You know, you've seen the worst of the worst, so you know how to deal with them, right?
Hi, welcome to another episode of The Spotlight. This podcast is for curious minds and aspiring innovators who are leading the charge in the research revolution. We dive deep to discuss inspiring, informative, and offbeat conversations on product research and strategy. My name is Iwalala Shobowale, and I am a product research and strategy lead at a leading technology company in Nigeria. So welcome to another exciting episode. We will dip our toes into the world of product design and explore the challenges and triumphs of these creative minds. So everyone is preaching the gospel of tech, right? Every day, we see so many posts encouraging people to get into tech or transition to tech, but we hardly hear about the challenges that, you know, people are likely to be faced with in tech. That is what I'm aiming to do with this series that will be called The Struggles. I'll be bringing you people in various roles and industries to talk about the struggles that they face in their roles. We are going to be as real and relatable as possible. Now, this is not to be a bearer of bad news or to be some kind of gatekeeper for these industries or roles, right? The goal of this series is to get you as much insight as possible into these fabled tech roles and to enable you make an informed decision before you take the plunge. Is anyone else doing this for you? I don't think so. So today we have a very special guest joining us, Dikpo, a talented SaaS and B2B product designer in Nigeria. So he'll be sharing with us how he navigates the unique obstacles in UX design and how he has managed to, you know, leave a mark with his creations. In this episode, we'll uncover the struggles, the triumphs, and the ever-evolving role of a product designer. So get ready to be inspired as we delve into Dikpo's journey and gain insight into, you know, the intersection of product research, strategy, and design. So, a little interesting background story on how we know each other. Dikpo and I completed a beginner UX design course together with Utiva. Shout out to Utiva, by the way. So, for me, it was a beginner course. I think Dikpo had some more experience at that time already. He had some experience in UX design. But for me, it was a beginner course. And it was a great experience for me as a beginner. But one funny thing I remember, and I know that Dikpo remembers this too, is we're working on a project together and we all had access to a Figma file. For me, this was my first time using Figma, right? I didn't really understand how it worked and, you know, how working collaboratively, like how you behave when you're working collaboratively. So I know that Dikpo had worked on the design for the team. And the next thing, I carried my two left legs, opened the Figma file, and started making some edits. God, now thinking about it, of course, I'm cringing. But I think, all these kind of struggles, all these kind of things, that's what I want people to tell us about. For me, it was a very memorable experience, right?
Yeah.
And I know, Dikpo, you have a lot more interesting stories that you'll be sharing with us today, right?
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. Please remember all those interesting stories. They're going to break them down for us.
I remember something similar happening to me as well. So, like, I was working on the Strix feature for, like, a language app. And then I broke something with the design system. So, obviously, this means I'm not too familiar with design systems, right? So, I don't even know what I did. I think it was the font. I was working with a particular, like, typeface. And then I don't know what happened. Everything just changed. All the fonts. And then the lead designer just messaged me. I was like, yo, what are you doing? What did you do? I was like, I don't know. Sorry.
No, I hope he was able to fix it.
He was, like, but he was really pissed because it was like, you know, he,
I can imagine.
One by one, I was like, ah, he was like, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. Yo.
Oh, God. And you would have been feeling so guilty.
I felt.
But we live and we learn, right?
Yeah, me too, me too.
Yeah. So, welcome, Dipo. Let's get into today's episode. So, okay, I know I already introduced you a bit, but I'd like for you to introduce yourself. What's your name? What do you do?
Right. So, I'm Dipo Akpelehin. I'm a product designer. I started designing about, I think it's been 2 years now. But, like, yeah. I don't have to admit it's 2 years because, you know, I think we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because there's just this, you know, you look everywhere online and you see, oh, I've been in product design for like 2 years and, you know, I've worked with Google, I've worked with Apple, I've worked with Amazon, I've worked with
Jesus. You'll not be wondering that, please, yeah. Am I a potato?
I've been doing it all my life.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think it's something I should be proud of anyways.
Yes, I've should. You're progressing 2 years.
Yeah, I've been designing for 2 years now. I'm probably the most inconsistent product designer out there because, you know, I have like ups and downs. I'm sure we all had it, and I think that's one thing we never really speak about, especially if you're self-taught. You know, you have moments where you know you say, "Oh, I'm going to focus more all of my life on this." You put everything into it. And you know, 3 months later, you kind of slack, and you know, life
hits
you.
It happens sometimes, yeah.
And you're like, okay, you know what? This isn't really working that way, so let me focus on something else.
Yeah.
Then, so I've had a lot of those moments, but for me, one thing I said was, you know, I want to focus on this full time and like, you know, really make something out of it. So I go into B2B SaaS this year. So it's tough because you know it's a whole new industry and it's very serious and very serious person. So it's you know trying to fit myself into that has been very challenging. But you know, I'm learning every day, I suppose, and looking forward to how this year turns out.
Yeah, so one thing I like that you said was how, you know, you actually had to tell yourself that you take it seriously this year.
Yeah.
And I think that is very important. Like, the fact that you highlighted, you noticed that, okay, this you basically made it a goal, right? So I definitely think if by the end of this year, you probably look back and be proud of where you started and where you are, right?
So can
you tell a little bit about your journey? I know you've touched on it a bit. How did you become passionate about product design?
Ooh, passion. Oof. What was
okay,
it?
Maybe not passionate.
There was a tweet I saw that said something about that. Like, all I saw was money, yo. But then I was in my finals. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, you know. And tech was taking during the this year. Like, they're laying off everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, there were free classes to learn tech. You know, Google Developers Club being allowed. So I joined. They taught me machine learning. They taught me, front end, and I was doing a bit of front end before then, so I was familiar with it. And then there was now something I had never heard before. That was actually the first time I heard of UI UX, right? It was and you know they told us to recreate Piggyverse. Yeah, it was a Piggyverse website.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had to recreate that. I remember his name was William. So he gave us this recreate the Piggyverse website, and that was it. And you know, it was fun. It seemed like something new. I spent the whole day doing that. It was you know, you're like putting things together. It was the first time I could actually see something I was working on in real time. Just give me feedback like that. Because code was frustrating.
So unlike I think that's one thing that also drew me to design. Like, you can actually see everything you're doing in real time. It's just happening in front of you. You're seeing it.
And you know that. when you're sort of not up to it. You have this idea in your head, but like there's a gap between you and the idea. You know it's just you. So That was something very alluring about it. And then, so I started then, I think about 2 years ago or so. Then from there, I got a little serious. I go onto YouTube, lots of YouTube videos. Then, finals came, so I kind of left it for a bit. Then I left it for a bit longer. Then I did COVID happened. I think YouTuber was doing COVID, right? Was it doing COVID?
Yes, I was doing COVID. I remember that very well.
Yeah.
I was
So
doing COVID.
then I did YouTuber, and that was it really. From YouTuber, I got one of those opportunities, and so it's been a very
Awesome.
interesting journey since then.
So have you ever gone back to look at your first design?
I have. Remember one time
Was your reaction?
I was like, "God, what is it? It looks like watercolor." So like the
Jesus.
thing I did after YouTube, I was trying to work on like this transport app, management app, and then there was just lots of shadows everywhere. I mean, if you're familiar with it was like you were like shading something on a piece of paper. It wasn't great. It wasn't great. It wasn't great.
Oh God. But yes, so you can see the progress you've made at least in the past few years, right?
Yeah, progress
I
is
love
progress.
that. I love that. So what do you love about your current role? You mentioned that you've been in B2B SaaS for a few months now.
Right. I've been transitioning into it. I haven't gotten a full-time role as a space designer yet. But currently, so like currently, I work as a designer at I don't know if I should mention their name. But currently, I work as a designer basically, and the one thing I do like about it is sort of the freedom. So it's remote and it's very, I don't know how to put it. It's just a lot of time for you to like work on other things because I've always been eyeing software engineering, right? And I joined ALX again for the third time. Yeah.
Third
Third
time.
time. I was like, you know what? This is the third time. If it doesn't work out this time, I just know it's not for me. And I'll probably join again like for the fourth time. But I joined again, Sha, and it's very exciting. I would say this has been the most I've given into anything. It was even more than I gave into design. I'm a
Oh,
lot
wow.
more open. Yeah, I'm a lot more open about it. I have been able to like create a community. I have friends that we talk every day, and I am actually reading books on software
That's
engineering.
I love that. I love that. Do you want to talk about any of the books you're reading? You can just mention.
So I'm reading this. So the books I'm reading are like basic introductory books, right? So like we're supposed to be learning about C programming. So I'm reading this book, Introduction to C, by Brian. I really cannot pronounce his last name. I don't want to bite my tongue. Brian Kernan, something like that. So yeah, it's a very popular C book, and it gives me a headache most times I open it, but it's fun. It makes me feel like I'm taking the right steps. But yeah, aside that, really, so that's one thing I love about the job. It's very, very, it allows you to do whatever it is that you want to do. And yeah, it's one of the things I'm, just taking that time out to kind of like work on my portfolio, set myself up for something really sweet in B2B SaaS. And I can stand in front of a laptop and just be pressing it. Like hackers in the movies, and they're like, oh, they're
You're living
breaking
the
that
dream,
into
oh.
and removing package, but it doesn't matter. Like, that would be nice.
I'm sure in the next 1 year you look back and be like, wow, you've really achieved so much. The
Right,
third
I
time's the
will.
charm, oh. So I
Yeah,
hope we'll actually
I'm
finish
going
up
to wait
ALX this
for
year.
it to. I hope so. I said that the second
I
time.
believe in you. I believe in
Thank you so much. But yeah, aside
you.
that, really, aside the freedom as well, there's also the. So recently, I had this kind of like project. It's not even kind of like it was a project. It was for a SaaS product, also B2B, because yeah, it was, and it was very exciting from the start. And then when I got into it, I think I underestimated just how complex it would be.
Mm.
And when once I got into it, I realized that, okay, I think I might be swimming into deep.
So you just jumped into the deep end straight away.
It was really deep. But I was lucky enough to have sort of like another designer who was on the project with me, and okay, he was a bit more experienced. And you know, he was a bit more experienced, but it still felt like we were both, you know, using ropes to like cross the bridge. So it was a bit shaky.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The leg no stand well, but yeah.
You
yeah.
get.
Yeah, that's I think that's one thing that excites me about like going into B2B. There's a strangeness to it. You know, you have to get used to the terminology. You have to get used to the way they think. And in business thinking is very important in this place, because the major focus is to make money, basically, and to make a product that people would enjoy. So yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, so speaking about that, right, you mentioned, you know, the business thinking is so important. How do you now balance, you know, the need for you to be creative and express yourself, you know, with those like practical elements of, you know, you're trying to make money for the business? So I imagine there are situations where like maybe one of your B2B business users will say, oh, they need this feature, and you know, how do you balance that? Like you're trying to be creative, but then they are asking for something that you know that this might not just work, right? I'd love to know how you deal with that.
Honestly, I do it the way every other designer does it. They say I don't want it, I just remove it. I just remove it.
Oh, God.
Some battles are just not worth fighting, to be honest. Some you fight, you stamp your feet, whatever it is that you do. You try and convince them to add it, not to add it. But at the end of the day, if they're really not going to like buy into it, they really won't. And so how do I do that? Honestly, if this thing is too much, I don't know how to put it. If the obstacle is too high, you know, I'll just drop and then over time I'll just be small, just be wearing you down. And then if that, which they most likely would over time, because you'd have been able to do some form of trust, some form of what's the English? Is it I think it's still trust, right? Where they believe in
you. Trust.
So you have been able to build that, and you know, they know that you are doing the best thing for them, basically. So
Love that, actually. I think trust is so important.
Creative designer. I'm not the most creative designer, to be honest. I know there are lots of designers who are like creative. They make designs that are like, ooh, mind blowing.
Yeah, interactions would just be like, wow.
Yeah, you'd be like, wow. But like, I'm not the most creative designer. My designs are mostly very functional, right?
Means B2B is perfect for you then.
Exactly. And it's
software
like
software as a service.
Now I look at the heavens and I say, wow, you know, am I going to be another John Doe in B2B? Mm. You know, because everybody wants to stand out.
I love that. So I think we already touched a little bit on this, right? But like, can you give us like some of the most common struggles, like those challenges that you face in your day-to-day work? So you've already mentioned how sometimes there's no point fighting some battles, right? So that, I guess that's one. But like, I'm very sure there are some interesting stories there. You can just give us one or two.
Yes. So where I currently work, when I just joined, we were to redesign the website for one of their products. Oh my God. Sorry. Oh my God. Yeah, it was horrible.
Oh God.
I shouldn't say that. The initial design wasn't great. It wasn't the best. Mm-hmm. And we had like a team of designers. So it was the first one. I don't know what was going on. Our team lead was amazing. But the team lead, you know that thing where you like you you have like a pack of dogs, very hungry dogs. You put them in like a cage, and then you just throw like meat inside. Then they have to like fight.
Wahala, wahala, wahala.
That was basically what happened between all of us. Because we had like different people working on. So she just opened the group and was like, you know what, I'm going to add all of you here. Decide on how the website should look and how the entire experience should come across. And boom, she was gone.
It was, just left you guys, imagine.
It was amazing.
Oh my god.
It was like watching Gladiator. So we'll fight over button, we'll fight over the craziest things, we'll fought over what font to use.
Wow.
It was so silly. And then the entire experience as well, we fought over that. At the end of the day, everybody had to make compromises. Every single person. But it also felt, it didn't feel like we're just making compromises, you know, for the sake of the product. It felt like we were making compromises so that we just want something that we worked on, we put in our blood and sweat, we'll be in it. But it did turn out at the end of the day, Sean. So we were able to turn around. So that was one very interesting experience. That taught me a lot. You've already taught me that coming into design, but it taught me even more about work, how to actually like sell your design to your peers, and just like you, how to sell it to them as well. So that was tough. It was fun, it was tough as well. So
I think that's something that's actually not really spoken about, how like it's so, apart from like your external stakeholders, maybe the product manager or the business team, right, like actually like justifying your design decisions to your peers is something else too. Like it's something that's not really talked about.
And I know we all do this thing on Twitter where we are like, oh, you know, designers just design for designers. Yes, it's a bit true, but at the same time, you know, they're just, once if you're doing it for designers, a designer doing it for designers, there's very heavy focus on visuals, you know. So it's, you're not really selling everything else. It's just what they can see, and then they would say, oh, this is amazing, but then where's the story to it, where's the depth? And that's where it was spoiled, you know. So but that was fun. It wasn't fun. I won't advise anybody to do that to their team of designers. Please don't do that.
Right So great, please, if you're hearing or you're managing a team of designers, please don't do that, right? Please give some more direction, you know, to the instructions as well. I love that. So I think you've mentioned, so you've already talked about, you know, collaborating on a project, right? Like you just mentioned. Are there, like, have you learned any other thing that's interesting or insightful about collaborating, apart from with, like, designers, for instance, maybe with business teams, researchers? Right. Have you had any stories like that? Another one.
I don't know how to put this. I don't think you have to know how to, like, honestly. honestly, you really have to. Sometimes the lie is for your own good. Sometimes it's for the good of whatever it is you're working on. But you have to know how to lie. Because a lot of people will squeeze you, and in not the right way, not to get the best work out of you. They'll just do it because they have zero understanding of what it is that you do. And sometimes it can be quite difficult. I know a lot of people out there would say, oh, you know, you're supposed to buy in whatever it is you're working with, your stakeholders, you know, whatever it is you're doing to them. That's great. It sounds amazing on Instagram. But like, not a lot of us can do that. And sometimes that comes with a lot of experience. You know, you've seen the worst of the worst. So you know how to deal with them, right? But I had a client one time who wanted me to make a design, and he would demand that I show up to some hastily arranged meeting every single time he wakes
up. In person?
In person. Every single time he wakes up. And, yeah, every single time he wait, like the moment Ginger just enter, you just say, "You will come and meet me here and here." And each and every time, my grandma would have something important for me to come and do.
So they're trying to balance that.
Yeah, so it was really hard doing all of those. And at the end of the day, I was lucky enough to kind of have like a product manager who brought me onto the project. So I had that person to hide behind, right?
Very important.
So I think at that point in time, given my experience, I don't think I would have been able to. I think we would have fought, to be honest. So I don't think I would have been able to manage this client in the way that they would have. So that distance between us gave me that leverage to be able to, like, you know, really push things the way that I felt should have gone. So and that's, you have to be able to, like, also there's a lot has to be said about tax, but I'm not sure that's something that you can be taught. I think it's something that you have to learn from, like, experience.
You just learn, right? And you will make a lot of mistakes while learning.
You will. Yes, and one thing, your question was, you know, with like stakeholders and stuff.
Or clients, any other person that you've worked with.
Yeah, so mostly that's it, really.
Okay. So I think I really like how honest you've been, right? So yes, I think stakeholder management, that's something. No. Like, someone has to say it. And I think it's like, this is literally the best person to say it. Stakeholder management. Nobody teaches you when you are learning design or anything like that. Stakeholder management is one of the things that you struggle with, right? So learning how to be tactful, learning how to, like, leverage. So maybe someone else on your team, like you said, your product manager, right? Leveraging your relationship with that person to be able to manage the clients better. Like, you just have to do what you have to do. And I really, really like the fact that you'll be very honest about this. Thank you.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. So, one more question. The field of product design is constantly evolving. So now, the next thing, AI, all of us are scared. Will AI take our jobs, right? But how do you stay updated with the latest trends? You know, how do you make sure that you're, like, up to date with the latest tools and technologies that are out there?
So this is a very tricky topic for me personally. Because recently I had this worry that I was kind of losing touch. You know, like looking at my designs, I was like, I think my designs are a bit old. You know, with the feel and everything, it's not new, it's not now. It doesn't feel modern. It feels like I'm like 2 steps behind. So it was something I was really looking at, like, really looking to work on, and, like, going back to the basics, you know, and, like, working and just recreating designs and, like, trying to make new stuff, which I will be sharing on Twitter in, like, in the coming week. So it's...
Please share.
Yes, that's also something I never really did consistently. I don't even think I even really did it that well when I started out. It's something, if anyone's listening to this, if you're just starting out with design, even if you're not just starting out, you know, just share your work, really. There's really nothing to lose from it.
Yeah. There's no shame. Every designer has been in that beginner stage, so they understand.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's even amazing for me, for someone who's as shameless as I am in real life, like, what happened? Where is the shame from? Where is it coming from? To your question. So, like, how do I keep it? So, I've been recently stacking up. I read a lot of books, right?
Okay.
And then, you know, there's Twitter, to be honest. A lot of my...
Yes, I know you're very active on Twitter.
Yeah, a lot of the things that that keep me in touch is on Twitter. It comes from Twitter. Because, yeah, mostly Twitter. Twitter. Mm. Oh, yeah, smashing as well. I keep
smashing. Smashing.
So really, yeah, smashing magazine. So that's mostly that's it. And yeah, I try to design as well. I've not been doing that a lot lately, but that's also something, you know, that's in the works So yeah, it's hard because it's just easy for it to just get lost, but it's you have to consistently like brush up. You mentioned AI. This was before ChatGPT came out, right? And like everybody was like, so the book kind of feels timely looking back at it now. The New Breed by Kate Darling. So she's like this, she's academia in AI. Okay. And her defense, everything the book is based on is that, you know, you're not supposed to see AI as your replacement. That was the analogy, basically. Think of AI as kids.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think I'm on board with that. I actually agree.
Yeah, try and just humanize them. And that thing we do to animals, where you see an animal, you're like, oh my God, it's so cute. Oh, it's nodding its head at me. That's a human gesture.
Mm-hmm.
But you've given it to that animal, you know, so that you can relate with it a lot more. Mm-hmm. So do that to machines. And people already do that anyways in places like Japan and everything. So why is the Western world so strongly opposed to this?
Right. Why are we all acting like none of us are going to work ever again? Yeah, it's I think that fear is far-fetched, to be honest.
It was an eye-opener for me, because, and so that's why when I see 5 things to tell you about AI and how it's going to take your job, I just roll my eyes elegantly.
Too many Twitter threads about that.
And then I just keep scrolling.
So I just wanted to ask a couple more questions, right? So about, you know, design and research. So I know, of course, you've already said, you know, you're just 2 years into design. But, like, can you talk about, you know, how, you know, maybe a project you worked on where research came, helped you make some design decisions, and how that happened?
So a case study I recently worked on, which was with Nkowa Oku. So they're an Igbo learning platform. All of you should get on it. We currently have, I volunteer my time for Nkowa. It's open source. So we currently have the Muta app out. It's available on Google Play Store. You guys should check that out. You people should check that out. So one major thing we like to do is to always make sure that everything we do is kind of backed up with some form of information, right?
Okay.
So with the Chrome extension, for instance, the Nkowaku Chrome extension, with that, research was basically it for me. That was what everything was backed on. So like, a lot of people were complaining that, oh, we didn't like this particular thing that this extension does, and we think it's very irritating. And I had to like piggyback, speak to people who use it. I had to like get them on calls, which was increasingly hard. Interestingly, because I didn't know UX researchers had to like go through that much stress.
But I'm going through a lot.
Oh my God. To get people to get on calls, you have to check in, you have to and then when you're on the call, you know, it might not really give what it is you kind of need it to give, the kind of information you kind of need. It might just be face level, and it's not good enough. You know, you
can't want that deep insight, and maybe the person is just not opening
and
up.
And there were even times where the person isn't even that familiar with the product, with the extension. In that point blank, that was it. They were not familiar with the extension. Just wanted to do the interview. Maybe because an interview, let's see how this goes. It might be fun.
Were you offering any incentives?
Right. We were not even offering incentives, which was curious. But, you know, it's open source, so you have a lot of people who like always volunteer for stuff. So there was that. So yeah, but at the end of the day, really, I was able to like comb through a lot of responses that I got, and then I was saddled with documentation. UX researchers, people are trying, you know.
Yes, documentation is like 60% of our work.
I detest it with every fiber of my being. Oh, I have some stuff I need to document that I have not gotten on in like weeks, and it just keeps piling up. So yeah,
that's the thing, you know, until you address it, it will be there piling up.
No one will do it for you. You have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
So yes, for the Nukowoku Chrome extension, you guys should read, you people should read my case study to know.
Oh yes. Can you send the link to me? I'll add it to the show notes for sure.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. So yeah, so the thing that was annoying people to the heavens was each time you would copy and like highlight a word on your browser, the extension would just pop up and just block your view. Like, look at me, I'm here, use me. it was so desperate. We want people to use this thing, so download it and use it. And then people, I don't know, people were like, yeah, we will use it when we want to, not you know, all the time. But it's been really fun. I won't say that. I think research is one thing I enjoy a lot about design.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, getting to speak to people. Sometimes it's the surveys. Sometimes it's the whole speaking to people. I don't like the documentation part, but everything else is
It is actually fun. Yes, I find it so interesting. So from everything you've said now, right? So you talked about how you actually had to talk to the people, and then you realized that you were talking to certain people, but they weren't just giving you what you needed, right? So I would say probably this is not to say that you didn't do a good job. I think you did a fantastic job with, you know, what you had available to you. But for instance, if you had a researcher, maybe like an experienced researcher on your team, they would have probably done some screening to make sure that the people you're actually talking to are like they use the products, they are very familiar with it, you know.
Right.
So those things, you won't then end up calling somebody that doesn't even recall using the extension, right? Because you want to talk to somebody who has used it very well, is very familiar with it. And like you said, you weren't really always getting what you wanted because, you know, they might not even remember everything. But luckily, right, you spoke to someone who actually saw, you know, told you about the major issue that they were having. So that's great. I love that. I really love that. Thank you for sharing that. So I have one last question for you. So how does your role as a designer, how does it contribute to the overall success of a product from your own point of view, in your own experience, right? What's the value that you bring to a product, a project, a team?
Right. So I'm going to use the Nkowoku Chrome extension because it's one that's really top of mind that I recently worked on. People hated. They hated the pop-up, right? It was annoying. After 5 seconds installing the extension and you try to browse and it pops up, they would delete it.
Wow. So it was really a really big problem.
It was. So getting to the point where we could pinpoint the problem, we could work on it, and you know, we didn't get that much emotion per se, that much hate, right? From people using it, and then they were like, okay, this is better. I think that is like a very top tier example of how, you know, I impact products or teams or anything.
I love that. Actually, I think it's very simple, very clear. So having a designer on your team helps you solve problems basically, and helps your product actually solve the problems that your users want without, you know, the friction basically. So you make it a frictionless, seamless process for your product to do what it's meant to do for your customers. I love that. Thank you.
I do want to say this though. So getting on this podcast, you know, when you sent me the message, I was like, I'm not exactly sure I'm the designer you would be looking for.
I think so.
And then I was like, but you know, like, that's something I've been trying to lean into a lot more as well. And I know I've been saying this a lot throughout the podcast. A lot of, I want to lean more into this, I want to lean more into that. But yeah, just being able to sort of tell my story in a way that feels like me. And
I think that you've done that.
Yeah, that way I don't kind of lose touch with what it is that I'm trying to do or trying to achieve. Because over the 2 years in design, there's been a lot of silence. There's been a lot of, where exactly is it? You know, where exactly am I reaching out towards as a designer? Where am I heading?
So I'd love for you to do something. Leave a message for yourself. So imagine this is 2 years from now. And what would you like to tell your future self 2 years from now? What do you see yourself doing?
Yeah, so like my future self from now would definitely have like a full-time product design role in a well-respected B2B SaaS company, right? And I think one thing I would tell myself is progress is progress, really. And, you know, your journey isn't exactly the same as everyone else's. Sometime early this year, I was just doing that thing we all do, stalking some of my peers on LinkedIn. And I was like, oh my God.
LinkedIn used to take out that somebody viewed your profile.
Especially on Facebook. Now, especially, I was like, oh wow, these people are doing amazing. So yeah, but like, they put in a lot of work to get there. You don't see that. People don't see that. Nothing, you know, it didn't just fall into their lap. It doesn't really matter if they are connected. It doesn't matter if they are wealthy, blah, blah, blah. All of that is, by the way,
they still work hard. Yeah.
They work very hard. And at the end of the day, you have to do the same. You know, you have to work hard. You have to work smart. You have to network like crazy. Networking is so important. I did not know how important was till I started, you know, having to put myself out there. Maybe not so much on social media, but like at events. I recently was at this whole Nkowaoku thing, this Tech Point Startup Expo, right? I went there with Nkowaoku, and a lot of people had heard of Nkowaoku, and I did not know that. We did not know we were that popular. So many people would come around to the
show
and be like, we're literally stars of the show. I know
Imagine.
This is my opinion of what happened. I know it might not be accurate, but I don't care. We were stars of the show. So yeah. Really. So honestly, just ignore the noise. Put your head down and just have fun.
That is so profound. Dipo, are you sure you're at the age that you say? Are you sure you have not lived like another lifetime before this?
I read a lot of
books. It's like your third lifetime. Sorry?
So, like, I said I read a lot of books. That's always my response. Like, I read a lot.
So I'm not the first person telling you that, Dipo, you sound older than you are.
No, you're not.
I love that. So in 2 years, we're going to see Dipo in... Everything he said, we're going to see Dipo in a B2B SaaS company of his dreams, making impact and doing good work, right? I can't wait to see you in 2 years. Maybe you'll come back on this podcast in 2 years. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. I know it probably wasn't like easy for you, right? But I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you a lot for having me. I had fun. I did have fun.
I'm glad. So thank you so much again, Dipo, for sharing so much about yourself and your role. It's been a really fun and relatable episode, if I may say so myself. So if you're looking for a promising B2B SaaS product designer, you are in great hands with Dipo. I'll have his LinkedIn profile in the show notes. So yes, that brings us to the end of this really eye-opening conversation with Dipo. He has shared, you know, his personal experiences with us, and I really hope you've gained a deeper understanding of the struggles and triumphs that come with shaping digital products. Now, remember that the world of product design is constantly evolving, and it's through the stories and experiences of people like Dipo that we continue to push the boundaries of innovation. So stay tuned for more engaging discussions and inspiring stories. And thank you for joining us. And until next time, keep designing and dreaming big. Have a good one. Bye.